Can you hear this? No, not the air horn, not the chanting or the screaming. Listen closer. Still can't hear? That was former Detroit Police Chief James Craig announcing that he's running for governor as a Republican. Surrounded by protesters on Belle Isle today, Craig leans into the microphones at the podium, puts his mouth up close to them, and shouts, although you can't hear him, "I am running for governor of Michigan." This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. For months, we've been waiting for this announcement, as Craig made only a thinly veiled attempt to conceal his plans to challenge Governor Gretchen Whitmer for statewide office. This may not have been the announcement he had planned or hoped for, but it might actually work out in his favor. More on that in a minute. Michigan Radio's Zoe Clark was there for the announcement and the ensuing chaos. Zoe, hi.
Hi, April.
We'll get to the merits and the substance of James Craig's campaign in just a second, but I got to ask you about the scene today. Why were the protesters there?
Yeah, they were there because James Craig was the police chief of Detroit during, of course, the social justice protests last year. They do not like how James Craig handled that, and Detroit will breathe. These protesters came out in force to Belle Isle, where this morning at 10 a.m., James Craig, as you heard, was trying to announce for governor and really was unable to, at least in that moment.
So the anti-Craig protesters knew that this was happening today. They knew where to be, and they showed up early in force.
You can picture Belle Isle. Indeed, he was supposed to be at Sunset Point across the road. You could see the protesters gathering outside of the fountain. And in about half an hour, around 9:30, there was, you know, people were kind of beginning to say, "We think, you know, the protesters are going to try to interrupt." And they basically walked with horns, as you heard, across the street. And basically kind of took over the area, right? I mean, Craig's podium was all set up, right? I mean, the media was there. So you sort of had this stage for the protesters. Meanwhile, Craig was in an awaiting car and, you know, basically waited quite some time as the protesters shouted, as you can hear, before he decided to walk to the podium himself.
Were there any James Craig supporters there, too?
There were. They were outnumbered, though, by the protesters there. I would say there was about equal number of James Craig staffers who were there, right? Campaign manager, press secretary, some funders. And then I would say there were, you know, the same amount or so of supporters, at least at the Belle Isle event, which then got moved about 90 minutes later to a different location where the protesters were not able to get to.
I want to ask you what James Craig had to say in the more quiet environment, but this incredible chaos. It looks like a candidate who has no control and really hadn't planned a lot for this announcement. But at the same time, it feels like this protest disruption may actually work in his favor. Can you explain how that might work?
So, yes. First, it did feel confounding, right? That here you are in the middle of a public park. We know we are in furious political times. And, you know, the place where he was making the announcement, I mean, folks knew about where this place was going to be, right? Word started to trickle after the protesters got in front of the podium, were using these bullhorns, were shouting, and let's also say, you know, using words not fit for me to repeat on the radio. And, you know, for some folks in the crowd, supporters basically were saying, look, you know, look at this lawlessness and folks on the far left. You know, one person I spoke to basically said, you know, how can you have a, you know, small D Democratic debate if you're even unwilling to hear, you know, the other side? And so it is going to be interesting to see how his campaign decides to use some of this footage. footage of him getting drowned out, of him basically having to have security protection around him as he was walking back from the podium, versus the Detroit Will Breathe protesters, who I think basically feel sort of like, you know, mission accomplished, basically. They drowned him out from making this announcement, at least at the time and place where he was originally planning on doing it.
At the same time, it seems like a clip that was made for Republican fundraising to some extent.
And this goes back right to this sort of idea of lawlessness, right? And Chief James Craig. And, you know, when he eventually was able to make the announcement later on, which we'll talk about, a lot of that stump speech was about law and order.
More on James Craig's chaotic announcement for governor after a quick break.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Zoe, if James Craig is running for governor, he's going to have to go to a lot of cities around Michigan. Do you think it's possible that he might face more of these confrontations as the statewide conversation continues about racist actions by police departments against communities of color?
I think it's a great question. And I think it's not just about James Craig, right? It is about this, as I said earlier, furious political moment that we find ourselves in. So I'm thinking back to April of 2020, you know, when there were armed protesters at the state capitol, right? Of course, you can't, you know, take away the January 6th insurrection. I'm not saying anything, you know, I'm not trying to make necessarily a comparison of any kind of violence today, which there wasn't. But this feels almost like this new normal about how we treat each other in these political spaces, whether that be, you know, the space physical like today or, you know, April 2020, or social and digital spaces like how we treat each other on Twitter. And so I can only imagine, unfortunately, that this kind of dialogue or lack thereof is going to continue. But I'll say, for the Detroit Will Breathe, you know, folks who were there, the protesters, they were happy, right? They fulfilled their mission to not let him announce today. And so again, you're seeing this sort of schism of you know, where we are politically as a nation. There was someone, I'm assuming a James Craig supporter, who was in the crowd yelling a word I cannot say on the radio, Whitmer. Repeating, word I cannot say on the radio, Whitmer, towards the Detroit Will Breathe protesters. So again, sort of setting up this yelling back and forth at each other and very little ability to have a dialogue, at least, you know, in this place and time today.
Whew. Okay, so plan B, the Craig campaign relocates in a different location under a police escort, and he makes a statement. What did James Craig say about his campaign?
Yeah, so about an hour and a half later, after folks sort of waiting around, and then this kind of word of there's this new address, and it was so odd. It was like you could see this contingency of cars, you know, all following each other, only, you know, 2 miles or so away, maybe even less than that. It was on a rooftop overlooking Detroit River and Windsor, and he spoke. It was windy. At one point, the sign that said James Craig on the podium fell down, which just sort of also felt indicative of sort of the entire day. Two folks were having to hold the flags that were next to him again because of the wind. And really what he did is he gave a stump speech.
Yes, I am a political outsider, but I am a proven leader who refuses to be boxed in by the color of my skin or partisan affiliation. Thank you.
similar to a speech that he gave in Jackson a month or two ago. You know, again, tough on crime, really talking about, you know, Whitmer in his mind, her failed policies when it came to COVID and schools. And, you know, really kind of, I would say, you know, red meat speech for the GOP.
Yeah. So James Craig's run for governor has been anticipated for months now, basically since he retired from the force earlier this year. What can you tell us about why he's seeking statewide office?
It's a good question. Right now, it seems, and he was asked today, you know, trying to talk about his policies. And instead, what it seemed like he was most concentrated about was, you know, Governor Whitmer's handling of COVID, the economy. You know, he also kind of made a joke about the roads, you know, those damn roads not getting fixed. But again, he seemed to really key in on the law and order message that the state and the nation are sort of full of lawlessness, and that how he, as police chief, was able to, you know, have more control in a city like Detroit during the social justice protests and the Black Lives Matter protests, you know, last year, which again was a very interesting dynamic to hear him talking about that 90 minutes after, you know, this Detroit Will Breathe group drowned him out because of their concerns and their real anger towards his policing in Detroit.
Right. James Craig is the biggest name on the Republican side of the race so far, but there are some other candidates running as Republicans who are expected to pull support from pretty strong anti-establishment base, the Trump base, if you will. Zoe, what do we know about the state party's support of James Craig at this point?
Yeah, this is what's so interesting, right? Is right now, you know, some folks are calling him the front runner. He does have some establishment support. A certain John Engler, who you might remember was governor, has basically endorsed his campaign because he's helping with the fundraising and overseeing the fundraising for his campaign. Look, you know, Ron Weiser, the chair of the Republican Party, is saying there's going to be a primary. There's going to be a lot of candidates. We're nearly, you know, near a baker's dozen of folks. I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, James Craig is trying to sort of, I think, straddle the fence between establishment Republican, but also trying to get the Trump base. But you have folks like Tudor Dixon, you have folks like Garrett Saldano, right, who are basically saying, you know, we are not the establishment. I mean, coming out this week and saying we're not going to the Mackinac Policy Conference, sort of the establishment's establishment, you know, business conference that's always sort of catered towards, you know, the business class here in Michigan. And so, I mean, you know, today was fascinating. It was interesting. But watching how Republicans coalesce around one of these 10, 11 candidates before August is going to be fascinating because in the end, you know, this person, whoever wins to run against Gretchen Whitmer could get, you know, in theory, 12% of the Republican vote or 26% of the Republican vote, right? Depending on how many candidates are in the race come August. And then how do you go and parlay that small of support in August into a general election? It's going to be a fascinating year.
Zoe, thank you.
Thanks, April.
And that's today's Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows and stream them whenever you're looking for more listens at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis, and today's pod episode was produced by Mercedes Mejia with Laura. Our theme music is by 14KT, with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in your feeds tomorrow. Bye-bye.